Well, the effects on the beaches are dramatic. The beaches actually are less vulnerable than wetlands, and the beaches are relatively easier to both protect and to clean up. The wetlands are the most vulnerable of the ecosystems because that's where most of the wildlife is. And I'm talking about salt marshes in particular. At the mouth of the Mississippi River in the Delta area, we are the breeding ground for 70 to 80% of the commercial fish caught in the Gulf of Mexico. The near shore areas are greatly important to the fish that go out into the Gulf as they grow up. And they're also important to just a whole variety of birds, from migrants that are coming across the Gulf from South America to wading birds and to pelicans. We've seen these horrible pictures of the oil-coated birds. When a bird gets oil-coated, it obviously has trouble flying, so it can't feed. It's going to die from that. The oil can also mat down the feathers, and the feathers are the insulation for birds that keep their temperature regulated. They can die from hypothermia, even in the summertime in the Gulf. Nesting sea turtles are highly vulnerable. As the mothers crawl out of the Gulf onto the beach, they can crawl across oil and pick it up. The eggs can get contaminated with oil. As the hatchlings hatch and scurry back into the Gulf is their first act. If they're going through oil, they can be contaminated. And then at every other stage of the life, when they're in the Gulf, sea turtles are like dolphins and manatees, creatures that have to come to the surface to breathe. And so they can be forced to come up into oil and get oil in their nostrils, oil all over them. Can die from contamination that way. One of the things that's less visible than the adults dying is how we can lose large parts of the next generation of all of our wildlife, from nesting pelicans that aren't able to produce chicks that can survive for any variety of reasons. The adults may have died before they can finish feeding the young. The eggs can be contaminated. There's just a lot and lots of ways as this disaster continues to unfold, in which the wildlife all around the Gulf, in the air, in the marshes, in the water, is all vulnerable.
And finally, I want to concentrate on Florida for the last question, and that's, besides the Everglades, which you've already mentioned, what are some places that are at risk in Florida that haven't yet been affected?
Well, St. Mark's National Wildlife Refuge and Lower Suwannee National Wildlife Refuge, a bit farther north of the coast up above the Tampa-St. Pete area, are both vulnerable, and these are two of the most spectacular salt marsh stretches in the whole coast. And St. Mark's has a wintering population of whooping cranes. Whooping cranes are one of the most endangered birds in the world, and they feed on crabs and other prey that are in the water and can be contaminated but not yet dead, and they ingest the oil that way. Whooping cranes can get their oil just out of the water that they're in as well. There are manatees in Lower Suwannee in particular and other areas there, and it's a species of Florida has really rallied around trying to protect. There's all kinds of interest and support for bringing the manatees back from the brink of extinction. We've done a pretty good job, but they are highly vulnerable. Again, these are air-breathing creatures that have to come up to breathe. They can't just keep swimming underwater to get away from a slick of oil.